And this is why the Chachamim were precise when they said these words. Divrei shchiv meira kiksuvim uchemesurin domi. That the words of a person who's on his deathbed like this, when he says, my car goes to that person, kiksuvim, it's as if it were written down, uchemesurin, and it's as if the car was already given over to that person. Daiko, it says those words, v'chinas nase v'nishma. Rav Nosson Zal is going to show now how the words ksuvim and mesurim imply nase and nishma. Ki ha-nase hu b'chinas Torah shebichsav. The term nase refers to the written Torah. B'chinas nigla, which is called the revealed portion of the Torah. That's ksav. V'ha-nishma hu b'chinas Torah shebal peh. The nishma portion of the Torah is the Torah shebal peh, the oral Torah. Shehu b'chinas nistar. That's the hidden part. When you open a chumash, you don't see it. When you read about the parsha of Tefillin in the chumash, it doesn't tell you that it's got to be boxes that are square with black and, you know, straps and everything. That's the hidden portion of the Torah in a sense. Ki ma shenistar v'ne'elam b'Torah shebichsav megalin hachachomim balteh. Because that which was not written in the written Torah, the rabbis revealed it orally. This is the concept of as to why the Gemara uses these exact wordings. Ksuvim, mesurim. Ksuvim refers to Torah shebichsav. Ksuvim, bechinas Torah shebichsav, bechinas nase. And umesurim, bechinas Torah shebal peh. Shenimsar lemoshe Rabbeinu. The Torah shebal peh is called our masoret, our tradition. Sheu bechinas nishma, as it says in the first Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. What's the next word? Umesora liyoshua. The Torah shebal peh is masoret. It was given over him. V'alkein hashchiv meira shebehechrech shiyovoi lezeh be'eze b'china l'achar Moshe kanal. Therefore, a Jew who's on his deathbed, who is about to enter into the world of Nishma, he's got one foot in the world of Naseh, and he's about to enter into Nishma, at that point, that's the ultimate point to make his words effective. Al kein dvorov kichsuvim uchemisurim domi. He's at the meeting place of Nase and Nishma, of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. At the place where Nase and Nishma meet is where the Dibur is Shlemus. To the extent that a person has Shlemus HaDibur, he's zoichet to Nase and Nishma. So when a person is about to leave this world, when he's going to make that transition from the world of Asiya, Naseh, to the world of Nishma, at that point his words become totally effective. Naseh is Torah. Naseh is what a person knows already. Nishma is what they don't know yet. Generally, even though Tefillah, in order to daven, a person has to first thank Hashem for what they have before they ask for what they need. But again, the goal is to get this new item that I don't have yet. So that's what Tefillah is all about. That's Torah and Tefillah. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh is, again, Torah Shebichsav represents the simpler level. That's what that which we teach to children, let's say, Chumash. Torah Shebal Peh represents the higher level, which is filling in all of that missing information, that which wasn't obvious in the written Torah. And these are all, Olam Hazeh is when a person is on one level. When a person gets to Olam Haba, they're on a much higher level. That's the Aliyah we spoke about earlier, which you can't get to without the Arida of going into the grave, you know, passing away. The Alkein Nikra Hizgalus Hanistar B'Shem Naseh. This is why when a person has revealed to them what that which they didn't know before, that's called Naseh. Of Sham, as Rabbein Zal writes in that chapter in Likutei Moran, Shetzrichim Lasois Mehanishma Naseh, that a person's object job in this world is to convert Nishma into Naseh. Mehanistar Nigla, to take that which is hidden from you and make it become revealed to you, where you know it already. Ki Iker Shlemus Hasogas Hanistar Hurak Kishebol Lebechinas Naseh Lebechinas Asiyah. The main Shlemus of taking that which was hidden from you, which you didn't know, and bring it close to you, is when you bring it into action. Dehainu kishat tzadik zoyche lahasik hanistor b'shleimus gomor ad shiyigala al yedei ze asiyois toivois. This means that when the tzaddik is zoicha to take a certain item in Torah, which he didn't understand at first, he didn't know about it, and he learns about it, and he gets to understand it, and then he's able to take that and convert, translate it into something which will give people practical advice that they can use in their life experience in terms of action, the shlemus of Naaseh v'Nishma. Ki loy ha-medrash o ikar ela ha-maisa. Because the Gemara emphasizes learning isn't the main thing, it's action that's the main thing. V'yalkein, therefore, afilu kisha ha-tzadik masig eza ha-soga govoyav and esteres moid. Even when a tzaddik is zoicha to get to understand something that's very deep, eino nechsheves etzloi, it's not really considered a success to him. Kol zman she'eino imeven al yodo eich lohovi es mnei odom lidei meisen toivim al yidei zeh. Until he gets to know how to apply that knowledge to use it to bringing yidden to do mitzvahs and meisen toivim. Meaning, lahachziram b'tshuva, to get the people to do tshuva, ulechazkom, and to give them strength and support. Kasher heivananu kol zeh mimenu zal, as we understood all of this very much from Rabbeinu Zal, that when a tzaddik learns a piece of Gemara and gets to understand the literal definition, translation of what the Gemara is saying, that's not shleimus to him yet. That's part one. That's phase one. Phase two is when he understands it well enough to be able to use that piece of Torah to get other Yidden to come close to Hashem, to inspire them to serve Hashem, whether it be a Mishnayis, whether it be a Halach and Shulchan Aruch, whether it be Likut Halachos, whatever it is. The fact that a person learns it and understands it, that's not called Naaseh yet. That's not called that he made it, he revealed it yet. It isn't called fully revealed until he's been able to use that knowledge to translate into action by other people. This was the true greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shezocho lekabel es kol hamitzvos haTorah. He was able to receive the wisdom, the knowledge of all the mitzvahs of the Torah. V'hoira lanu eich lekayim es kol hamitzvos. And he taught us how to perform all the mitzvahs, how to do all the mitzvahs. V'alkein hu oile al kol hatzadikim shayu lefonov. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is considered superior to all the tzadikim before him. Ki afal pi shegam ho'ovois v'atzadikim shalefonov hi sigu hasogois v'nestorois harbe. Because despite the fact that there were tzadikim before Moshe Rabbeinu that reached high levels of knowledge and understanding of Hashem, aval adayin lo kiblu es ha-toyro, but they weren't zeichet to Kabbalah Satori, yet where Hashem should come down to earth and they should receive the Torah on behalf of the entire Am Yisrael. V'leizochu adayin lahachnis kiyum kol maisa mitzvus bo'ilam. They weren't zeichet to bring the world meaning the Jewish community, to be mekayim the mitzvos. Rak ktsas mitzvos echnisu bezaram, k'moy shem razal. They were just privileged to teach their children, their own kids, their own family members, to do some of the mitzvahs. That's what Avram Avinu accomplished, Yitzchok Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. Avol Moshe zocho lekabel es kol ha-toyrov ha-mitzvahs. But it was only Moshe Rabbeinu who was zocho to receive the entire Torah and all the mitzvahs, u'misora li-Yisroel, and to give it over to the Jewish people. Ki zocho lahasig ha-nistor. Moshe Rabbeinu was zocho to achieve and get to know everything that was hidden from him. Bebechina sanal, as we said earlier, lohovio lidei maise, and to translate it into action, to teach it to Bnei Yisrael, and to get the Yidden to be able to do all of this. V'yachrov boim kol hatzadikim v'yoiskim ozeh. And after Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the task of all the other tzadikim? They're a follow-up on this. Their job is also lahachnis kiyum ha-toyer v'amitzvos bo'olam, to bring the Yidden to performance of mitzvahs, to get the Yidden to do, to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. V'alkein, shleimus ha-tzadik u'ma'alosoi. Therefore, the main completeness of a tzadik, and his when we praise a tzadik, say that he's on a high level, is kishezoicha al yedei hasagosoi nistorois, להמשיך על ידי זה עצויס ודרוכם ונסיבויס ותחבולויס איך להובי ישראל לידי מייסו. When the tzaddik is able to take his knowledge of Torah, especially that which he originally didn't even know, and he learns it and gets to know it and understand it and how to use it to bring Yidden to do the mitzvahs and everything, that sheze ikur shlemus hanistor, that's called the main shlemus of the hidden portion of the Torah. Kiloi hamedrashu ikur el hamaisa, learning alone is not enough, it's only half. It's the maisa, when you take it to a level of fulfillment, doing it, that's the shlemus. V'alkei nikra hizgalus hanistor b'shem naseh shemamshichem minishma l'naseh ganal. This is why the act of revealing that which was originally hidden is called naseh, because that's the true fulfillment of the revelation. Just learning about it isn't really fulfillment, isn't really shlemus. It's doing it. It's bringing it into action, performance. That's when it has its shlemus. Hold it over here. Free choice. And in order for there to be free choice, Hashem has to allow a person to be able to draw from Hashem in one of two ways. Either in a way of holiness or unholiness, cleanliness or uncleanliness. Both ways, there are an avenue of drawing from Hashem. And if a person wants to force the issue and pull Hashem kavyochol down into where he is and use Hashem for a purpose of evil, it's possible for the person to do it and get away with it for the purpose of bechira. In the end, the person will be punished, no question. But there is this allowance for the person to be able to do this, and in this case, this is part of what they succeeded in doing, whereby they were able, according to some opinions, to actually commit Hashem, to take Hashem into this pact of joining in this procedure of selling Yosef HaTzadik as a slave and not revealing to Yaakov Avinu what had happened, so that he shouldn't be in any position to help the situation.
And so, you say that Rabbi Akiva represented the Shina.
Yes.
So, in essence, who was he a
Gilgal of? Rabbi Akiva?
Yeah.
He wasn't. In other words, according to that opinion, he wasn't, he represented, he wasn't a Gilgal of any of the brothers, he represented the Shekhinah itself.
Why do you have to come back again?
Because in a sense, there was somebody needed to atone for the pigam of the Shekhinah, in a sense. The fact that the Shekhinah allowed itself to be taken into this pact, somebody had to represent Hashem just as... Now the question is, what do you mean? Hashem needs forgiveness? The answer is, this concept does exist in the Sefer of Rosh Chodesh. We find the Torah tells us that when Hashem first created the world, He created the sun and the moon equal. Then because the moon came to complain and said, impossible to have two lanterns of equal stature, Hashem said, fine, then you take a step down. The moon said, why should I take a step down? Just because I brought up the issue, I get punished? Hashem said, fine, We'll give you the stars as a consolation. And he said, but still, that's not enough. We'll give you this as a consolation. Still not enough. Hashem said, you're right. I owe you an apology. And for that, the Jews are going to bring a special sacrifice every Rosh Chodesh, which is when the moon renews itself. They're going to bring a special sacrifice to atone, in a sense, for my mistake, in a sense, chaser, or my something I did wrong, kaviyachol. This is the way Hashem presents it. So we see there is a concept of Hashem allowing us to look at it as though He did something that warrants correction, and we're in a position to correct it. According to one opinion, that's what Rabbi Akiva represented in this case. He was the tikkun for the Shekhinah itself, for its participation in this pact.
Time of the Greeks, you know, Hanukkah, there was prohibition of
Chodesh.
And the reasons given there why those three Jews have done. From the decree given by the Romans against the burning of the Torah, with the direct blemish that Jews have caused, on their part, this decree comes forth from the Roman government, specifically the burning of the Torah.
I don't know. Because I know what you're referring to about the Greeks. I've seen myself in Sefarim, Bnei Yisachar, or others that give explanations as to why those three were picked, how the Jews were deficient in those three, and therefore they were punished for those. I don't recall seeing a comparable item for this. obviously there was. There was obviously there's a reason why they lashed out against this item specifically. I don't recall seeing it.
Shouldn't
we
all say at one point that when anybody dies off, there's a shame that he doesn't feel anything?
Yes.
So we were saying that they sort of suffer, they just don't.
Ah. In other words, this doesn't mean necessarily during the moment. In other words, this implies like right after death. I don't know if it means during the beginning of the procedure.
Is this kind of message that they really, that the pain was really going on the executioner and they were like, the mind to really control it, like literally not seeing a message like
about this story of Rav Chanina ben Tradi?
Possible.
But we know, he once explained, we had a long shiur about this concept of tzaddikim suffering, how that allows them to reach incredible heights. In other words, we mentioned a concept in human nature that when a person is suffering, you go to a dentist and he's imposing pain on your tooth or something like that, and you clench your eyes shut to take the pain. That concept of clenching your eyes shut is because a person who's looking at this world, looking at this physical world in front of us, we see pain and we see good. We see good, we see bad. We see pain, we see pleasure. Whereas in the next world, in Olam Haba, it's called Yom Shekulay Toiv, a life of all good. No pain whatsoever, no bad whatsoever. Now the only way a person can hook up to a degree with the next world is by being able to shut out this world. One example of shutting out this world is closing your eyes, especially not just closing your eyes regular, but clenching them tight, clenching them shut very tightly. That's one form of cutting yourself off from this world in a sense, and lifting off a little bit, going a drop into the next world. And that's the human reaction, that's the natural reaction to pain. And it's brought in Sforum that by tzaddikim, this is part of the reason why Hashem imposes pain at them at times, is to force them to propel themselves higher and higher. This forces them to pull out of this world more and to be on a much higher level, to be looking up into the next world.
The statement made about the rabbis who made the decision to spoil the children at times where they would be taken and young babies.
Right.
The
country that's listed in this, the one who lists this is the Ritvo, who was one of the Rishonim. He lived in about the year 1000, around that time. And the way he words it is that we heard in the name of the leaders of Tsarfas, of France, that they had actually done this as halacha l'maisa. It appears that the country that they're talking about here is France. And he's talking about an incident that took place before his lifetime. In other words, meaning before the year 1000 approximately, or 1100, when the Ritva lived, around that time. And at that time, they said they actually heard that this had been done as halacha l'maaseh. So that's the best I can tell you for right now as to where and when he's referring to that this actually took place.